Well, it's good for summer side of Murray. Must send summer coomer for the house, the air giver, been eating bit the Clifton, I saw the Obeda answered hut the dark the book on Belisarius, the Agric dark the service to the mark. And so, welcome to each one. If you didn't understand, that was a language of Pennsylvania Dutch, and some of the people here would know what I said, some of you don't. But I do want to welcome you and give make sure that God gets the glory for us being together here this morning. Yesterday, we spent some time at our son-in-law and daughter in Buffalo, and their 16-year-old son, Gabe, just got a 3D printer. I don't know much about 3D printers. I didn't till yesterday. But he said, well, he'll make me a whistle. You know, and about 20 minutes later, I had this whistle. And so, in years past, I had already asked the congregation to stand if you got too sleepy and I sensed that I lost you. So this morning, maybe I'll just do this. And so, that should remind us of the Quakers or Friends. Back in the old days, we read stories about somebody sitting there reaching out and tapping somebody on the head if they fell asleep. Well, I won't do that, but I could whistle anyway. And nevertheless, I was intrigued by this. He can make all kinds of stuff. An hour. Then he sets the machine up and walks away and goes to bed. In the morning, something is made. Okay. You can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to continue the message from the last time I preached, the first Sunday in August. And so now this is September the 1st. And we're going to be looking at the subject of walking, which that's what the last sermon was. And we have a interesting first two verses here in this chapter also as we think about walking and the challenges and examples that are given here. We have a challenge to be, therefore, followers of God as dear children, or as his dear children. And then after that, it gives us the instructions, walk in love as. Notice that little word, two-letter word, as. If you're in the King James, it says, walk in love as Christ. If you have some of the other, I have NLT here on my phone, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And so what are we to follow? When you think of the following the example of Christ, the next part of the verse kind of explains that. It tells us here, he loved us and offered himself a sacrifice for us. So now there's two things that we see that Christ has done that we are to be imitators or followers of him. The first one is he loved us and he offered himself as a sacrifice. The third thing that it ends up being in the back in my Bible here in the King James, it says he offered himself an offering. He given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And so before we get into the walk idea and what to me that's the outline of how to accomplish this is these three walks here in the first 20 verses here. But there's something that is noticeable here about Jesus himself. So he loved us. We know the verses, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That just those love verses go on and on. So Christ has done that, something that he has done for us. It says here, And then it also is the idea we can notice here, it's also done unto God. It ends up being a sweet-smelling savor, and that's kind of an Old Testament thing, that sacrifices and the burnt offerings and that smoke and all that stuff. We kind of lost contact with that idea of us being a sweet-smelling savor. But I would like to think, I would like to encourage us to think about that this morning, that he has died for us in a horizontal way, and yet he is also, while he's done that, he is a sweet-smelling savor to God. In other words, the obedience he had to God in a vertical sense results in him being a sweet-smelling savor. And so I guess to me the challenge I'm looking at here as we do these walks is that we're going to be outlining our I was challenged again, the idea of my horizontal relationships. Christ gave himself totally for us, our horizontal relationships, and then when we see his obedience to God, that's also our responsibility to be obedient to God in our vertical relationship. And so to me that's a pattern to follow. His obedience to God and his love for each other. And so I could almost stay there for the rest of the minutes, but because my mind went to the idea. So we're to this horizontal thing is a lifelong battle. Actually, the vertical thing is an obedience to God is a lifelong battle too. Satan does not want us to succeed, and so it's going to be a battle. But when you think of just the everyday stuff that we deal with in a congregational level, a work level, a household, in a relationship with husband, wife, and children, the whole thing, there is something that I think God has outlined here that if we look at these walks and put them into practice properly, it will give us the ability to do this. Maybe this is just a man thing, but I enjoy when my boss says, you go to Cambridge, Ontario with this load, and then when you come back, you do this, and tomorrow you're going to be assigned this load, and this is your trailer, this is your load number, you got to get it approved at the border and so forth. I go into Canada every day, and I enjoy that outline, and then when I get something done, then it's all, there's a check mark, it's off the list. And so when I'm thinking of horizontal relationships, I'd like to encourage us that it's not just the, I'm going to buy you a gift and that's my love to you, and I'm going to do this for you, I'll fix your car tire or whatever, and that's my love to you, and then it's all done. When we talk about New Testament loving each other, it is actually that agape love that Christ is exemplifying when he died for us, and he held nothing back. He gave himself. Did you ever hear the term fully surrendered or obedient or emptied of self? That's, I think, where it comes in. It's not just the things of doing this list, now I've loved my brothers in this congregation, but it's a lot more than that. And so hopefully we can learn a little bit about that and be challenged by it. The first one is talking about walking in love here in verse 2. And that's our first one of three walks that are outlined in these first 21 verses. It says, walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Well, how can you and I walk in love as Christ gave the example? How is this possible? I mean, I'm pretty selfish, and I have a lot of ideas that are not the same as yours, and yet we're challenged to do this. And how is this possible? Is it possible? I think we should be challenged to try it. Well, the thing I would like to outline here, or give you an example, is how are we going to, is this on? Should I turn it on? Is that the problem? Thank you. Oh, no. You're welcome. So the thing I would like to give us an illustration. That's supposed to be a road.
Who helped play Pictionary the other night? Is that a road? All right. Okay, this is the road, and this is our driveway to the cabin. It was just like this, exactly to detailed specs here. Okay, so Joyce and I, a couple years ago, I think it's the mid-80s, I'm guessing, kind of. What did I say?
You said a couple years ago, and that's like a lot of years ago.
Oh. Okay, a lot of years ago, Joyce and I, our three oldest children, Joanna, Mandy, and Kate, were with us. We had traveled from Lancaster, and we came here, turned our car down here on this driveway. Now, this is rough. It's a very downhill, so forth. We came down here to a certain spot, and a storm had just went through. Okay. What is that? A tree. Okay. We just played Pictionary the other night at our house. Three teams, three on a team. I didn't need my hearing aids. Anyway, we got here. This is a big tree. We got there Friday night before anybody else, and I can't move the tree. I have a car, a station wagon. I had a car that would not even be able to budge that. I didn't have a chainsaw, I didn't have a handsaw. It was, you know, so what do we do? This is quite a little walk down here now. And for some reason, it was the darkest night of the summer. No stars, no moon. It was just dark. And I don't necessarily care for dark that much, but this was my test. We finally decided, after having a meeting here, that we would grab our things that we need, and each girl would carry their own little duffel bag, and Joyce and I carried the big stuff. And we started walking down through here, and it was dark. We came down through here, and about, I would guess, maybe in this area, these people, that's five of us, three girls and mom and dad. Right about here, we noticed and felt something. In the darkness around here, there was an animal. And he just kept circling. Every now and then, we heard him traipse across the stones on the gravel. The rest was grass or woods. And we got scared. I got scared. I'm supposed to be the leader, right? Strong man here, and I got scared of it, and it was, we had no light, no cell phones, of course, in them days, and just no light. We just had nothing. And so I'm helpless. I'm supposed to protect the family, and I'm scared. And so what do? We kind of stayed close together, got more scared, and this, sometimes, maybe in this area here, I'm going to say, we stopped and set down our stuff, because it was just like, this thing is getting close to us. Is it a wolf? Is it a bear? What is it? Well, if it was in the mid-80s, or the end of the 80s, we just came home from northwestern Ontario, where there actually was wolves. And I know what the Native Americans that lived up there, how they respected wolves. Because I was along already when they shot a caribou out in the snow. And you don't hurry Native Americans, well, not Northwestern Ontario Native Americans, you don't. But you don't hurry them up. But it's about the only time I ever saw them hurry is to cut up that caribou, and they had little sleds behind the snowmobiles, and they loaded that meat on very fast. They were butchering that caribou right out in the middle of nowhere, and the wolves would smell this blood and come running. And when my mind in this area here was pretty selfless, right? I'm emptied of myself. I'm fully surrendered to God. I mean, that's where my mind went. This is probably a wolf. And if those guys that are used to living with them are that scared to hurry and get that meat out of there and get themselves out, I'm in trouble. When I look at this verse and I think of my condition right there and think of what else is given, in these first seven verses, let's look at this a little bit. It says, but uncleanness in verse 3, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, that's really greed, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, and be not ye therefore partakers with them. I would like to suggest, when I ask the question, is this possible to live a life fully surrendered, or live a life to Christ's example in the congregation or at home or anywhere? Is this possible? How is it possible? It's outlined in the scripture. It sounds like an expectation. It sounds like this stuff should not be, later it says, not once be named among you. And so that's right there is what I needed right there, Clifton. That's what I needed. Where was that about 30 years ago? How is this possible? And so I would like to say, when it talks about walking in love, this group of people right here were very much in love, I'd say. Right here. There was not a lot of grumbling. There was not a lot of picking between sisters. And there was just no complaint. Everybody was given in to a very scared situation. And so my thought is, if I put this together, if we really want to be victorious and we really want to live out the Christian faith, or especially the idea of walking in love like this, we can't be having problems with each other, and we can't be bickering and complaining. But rather, we must be emptied of self. I had very little manly pride left in me. It was just nothing there. I was skunked. I was had. And I was empty. There was nothing I could do. And I had no, even a match. I wondered if we had a watch that had a light on it. I wondered if that would have been a comfort to us. But there was nothing. I had no light. And so my challenge to us this morning is, if we really want to live out the faith and live out the expectations that is given here, then, you know, was there fornication in my mind at that time? Was that greed part of my thought pattern in that time? Was I tempted with greed? No. It was done. I was completely empty. That, I think, would be the key to successful Christian living. To fulfill the idea of walking in love, we need to be empty.
No.
Nothing I could do. We always have another thing that we can do. Always. We can buy stuff, or we can go to Walmart or something. We can solve the problem. But I couldn't. And so I just like to think of us there as a family. And you look at this fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, and all that stuff. Just, it wasn't there. It was not part of that evening. Right? And so I would challenge us to think about really selling out to God. Just really emptying ourselves to God. That's why I'm coming off with that. Fact is, when you think about the things that are outlined here in verses 3 to 7, that wasn't even hard at all to accomplish that. I think I probably did an A+. None of that was in that scenario. That's just not there. And so I think God would have looked down and said, boy, that guy, you know, he's not even thinking about fornication or uncleanness or covetousness. He's upright. Can we be upright without being in that dire a situation? I think we can. Okay, so then the next point is in verse 8, it says here, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So what do you think, how much do you think I would have gave for that flashlight I just saw, or that Zippo light? Maybe the other guys, do you have a Zippo? Somebody have a Zippo light? Was that what that was there? No, just a light, just a light. Were you ever in a cave or a cavern when you turned everything off? It's really dark. And all they do is light a match. And it kind of gives this little bitty glow the whole way around. And that's a comfort. Just a little bit of light. Well, we're told here to walk as children of light. And so how much money do you think I would have gave if somebody would have come walking up behind us and said, hey, I got a flashlight? I'd have been relieved. I'd have been comforted. I'd have been happy to save my wife and family in that situation. Well, we're told to walk as children of light. And the verse here on our sign in Psalm 119:105, I think it's still there. I didn't look this morning, but is 119:105. It talks about the word of is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so today, as we leave here today, we're not in that situation. Rather, we're called to live in the light that we have. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet. Now, if you are old, if you think old days, a lamp is like a lantern. So if you can imagine old pictures you see with this decrepit old man walking from the house to the barn to do the chores, and he has a lantern. And it just lights around him, just a little bit of light. It doesn't light a beam ahead. But the word of God is a lamp to my feet. If we want to be careful, which that's the next point of our steps that we're taking, I would suggest that we get into the Word. That's a lamp unto my feet. That's what the Bible says. And so if I had just had something, just had a light, I was so in need of, I was so desperate for a light, if I could have just have that. And we have it here. We have it in our homes by the dozens probably. And so let's look into the Word. It's a lamp that gives us a surrounding for our steps that we take. But then it's a light to the path. So it's dual. In that verse, there's a dual light pictured there. Not just the steps around us. But there's apparently something to do in this Word of God that gives us a beam, a light for the path. There gives us something about a direction. And so today as we leave here, we're not living in this situation. We have the Word of God. Let's walk in that Word. It's a challenge. And we have it so freely today. Also, if I would have had a light there, just a wee bit of light, I could have exposed that enemy. And let's read these verses from 8 to 14. It talks a little bit about this light, and reproving is the King James word. Exposing is another word that can be used. Light exposes things. If I just would have had a light of some kind, I could expose that enemy. Maybe it would have been more fearful than I was even experiencing, but probably not. So it says here, for we were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So it's exposed by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And so my challenge here this morning, as we look at this second step of walking and this expectation that's outlined here, is we have the word. It's very simple. You have the word. Let's use it. I've said many times, our lives are getting busier. Busier. Another year's soon gone, and it's busy. And so how are we going to stay in the word the way that he wants us to, or the way we need to? It is light unto us, and it exposes our steps and our path, our direction. And so my challenge is, in this second one, is can we read the scripture? Simple enough. Number three is here in the Bible, is in verse 15. It says, seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so what the circumspectly is not a word we use here so much. It's more a careful walk. It's a concerned walk. What is the next step that I'm taking? Well, as we came down in that darkness, even before our enemy was there or we were aware of it, we had to be very careful and be circumspect in our steps, because there's washouts. There's loose rocks. We had a lot of motorcycles in them days, and we spun that lane and ditches and stuff. We could hardly get in with my station wagon. And you had to be careful. The steps, because it was too dark to see. It was dark. So walking circumspectly today is a challenge. And I think Jeremy said something about something that's a little lacking in our general discussions, is the idea of how much explanation and emphasis is given on being this, walking circumspectly, being careful. Does the Bible just say to receive Christ and then it's all over? I believe there's something that goes with it, and this is one of those things. So it says here, looking around, watching every step. We had to be careful that night. So, in conclusion then, can we be fully surrendered in the example that Christ has given us, emptying of ourselves so that we can love each other? You know, it didn't really matter if I'm holding the girls down the path, carrying them. It wouldn't matter if their nose was bleeding, if the diapers were dirty or whatever. I would have held them, I'd have hugged them just the same. You know, those ailments and things that we kind of back off from sometimes, I don't really care for too much blood. But if the nose would have been bleeding and somebody's tooth would have came, you know, all kinds of things, and each other, as we think of things that bug us, can we still hug and love each other the way Christ has outlined? It wouldn't have mattered at all. I was done. It was nothing to me and my pride there anymore. My thing that night was to protect my wife and children. And maybe this is too gross, but I just heard a story about a man was redoing his the entrance to his barn. He had big concrete ramps concreted in, and they're redoing the structure behind the concrete. So they lifted the concrete up, jacked it up. His son somehow reached in to move some wood underneath, and the concrete slipped off the jack and cut his arm off. Fell off his arm right here. There's nothing, no arm anymore at all. And so this dad was holding him. The blood was gushing out and all over him. Well, that's love. That doesn't matter. That you gotta protect that child. What can I do for that child? And today he don't have an arm. But it's the idea of, can we walk in that love to the point where it's not me, it's not about me, it's about taking care of my brotherhood. Will we stay in the light? Can we walk in the light as is outlined here and follow the scriptures' instructions? Is there something in our brains and our mindset and our views today that have reminders in there about walking circumspectly, walking carefully? Is that part of our thinking? Is it really part of our thinking? And so will you, with me, attempt to do as outlined here and walk in love and the light that we have, carefully walking in that? That's the challenge. It's always a challenge for me to look over these walks. If you go back to chapter 4, there's 4 other walks in there, and you can do them too if you'd like to. But so anyway, we finally made it to the house. This is the cabin, by the way. This is the barn. This was an old farm, 120 acres, that Joyce's parents, friends bought. And we had benefits, or still do. We came here. This is not quite the right... at least the house is below this parking area here. But normally you drive the car down here, and here somewhere maybe you shine lights down here to the key that's hidden underneath this vinyl siding, aluminum siding. Bad down underneath there so that you can't break in and live there. So this night, I didn't have that either. There's no lights on in the shack there. It was just really a cabin. Anyway, I found that. We walked in there and turned lights on. Lights. Can you imagine what lights do to your attitude? It's amazing. We were blessed with lights that night. I don't remember if we left them on all night or not, but... So the next morning, the story ends with the next day got daylight, and we could see everything that's going on here. And children were out playing, and the neighborhood German Shepherd was there wanting to play with the children. And so that was our enemy the night before. And then as we stopped there at that one point and just set things down, I was about at the end. You know, I was throwing rocks at this thing. And as we stopped there, well, he just thought that's cool because he's going to get closer. So he just came closer, but we didn't want him as much as he wanted us. And so we had a nice laugh the next day about the neighborhood German Shepherd. But let's remember the story in the Bible about walking. There's a lot of instructions about walking circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Use your time wisely. Be not drunk with wine. It's another subject. If you're of the thinking about justifying wine and casual drinking, then read your newer versions and see what it says. It says lots more seriousness than King James does. So I'll leave that with you. We'll close the service here with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. And as we think of the outlines that you have given us and the example that you have left with us, to love each other and love God and obey Him. We just want to be thankful that we can have the Bible and be able to read and understand what's here for us. Just bless the Crossways congregation and the group that's here, that they could have been encouraged and challenged as they were here, and as they have blessed us with their presence, we just want to offer them a blessing also. Just guide and direct us as we go from here. And thank you again for taking care of our physical needs. We just want to pray for the food that's before us and the fellowship time we can enjoy each other. In Jesus' name, amen.